Hi there, I'm Jerry Mullen, Director of Integrative Nutrition Services here at Johns Hopkins.
I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
Integrative Nutrition Services, what does that mean?
It's a way of integrating alternative concepts in nutritional care with traditional gastrointestinal nutritional concepts together in patient care delivery.
So just explain to me, why is that necessary?
For patient care, it's been shown in surveys that approximately half of the patients we see seek or utilize alternative modalities of care, which include various herbals and homeopathies and nutritional supplements in their care without medical advice or medical guidance. And many of our colleagues and physicians aren't familiar with many of these supplements and these modalities of care. And I have expertise in those areas and can provide people with guidance and good common sense evidence-based advice on how they could possibly integrate those proven modalities into their everyday care.
So can you give me some specifics?
Patients come in asking questions about, let's say, glutamine for their small bowel disease if they have Crohn's, and there's been evidence to show that may not work. Necessary for the way the gut functions in stimulating small bowel growth and repair, but used as a therapeutic agent really hasn't been shown to work, and those manufacturers are very readily sell people as consumers, promote how these can work for them, but unfortunately there's no evidence to support it. On the flip side, there's evidence to show that curcumin may be one of the new kids on the block in terms of herbs and supplements that may have very potent anti-inflammatory activities and then even anti-cancer activities. Consumers and patients come to us looking for advice in terms of how to use it, and that's something that there is evidence to support. So that's the yin and yang of some of these supplements, and there's certainly many others that are used in GI by our patients. Some of them erroneously misguided, self-prescribed, and others are given by different alternative healthcare practitioners. I see my job is taking those into account, not ostracizing patients for their choice of using these supplements and trying to make sense of them.
This sounds like a gigantic task. I would first ask you, is it true that I know the patients you see are those who have gastrointestinal issues, but clearly the use of supplements is something that transcends GI problems?
It transcends GI problems. People use multiple modalities and multiple types of supplements for a variety of reasons, but at the end of the day, the people that I see are specific for GI complaints and some for just general nutrition, and they happen to have a GI diagnosis.
If a patient comes here to Hopkins and wants to have a nutritional consult, how would they get in touch with you?
We have a main number where patients are referred to. We have the gastroenterology access line, and they make appointments through that line, and they generally find me on the web through the Hopkins website.
Okay. And so is it a good idea, would you say, for somebody who has a GI complaint to get both evaluated from a nutritional standpoint and then also get advice related to these supplements?
I think if they're interested in using those supplements, then I think it's a good idea to get advice from someone who has expertise where they should be using them and how to use them. It's not easy to find out in the community.
And so is it a good idea for a patient to get a nutritional evaluation?
I wouldn't say every single patient needs a nutritional evaluation, but those patients who may be suffering from a disease that can be associated with malnutrition, it's a good idea to have that. If they have weight loss or if they have certain GI symptoms that may limit their ability to eat, then certainly having somebody, whether it be a physician, dietitian, involved in their care is a very good idea.
Would you also say it's a good idea for people before they start taking supplements or nutraceuticals or anything that goes by that name to seek advice on that? And how did you become an expert in this? Because there's a lot of people out there who say they're experts or advertise as though they're experts.
Well, that's a very good question. Who is an expert? That's a good question because you have people prescribing supplements from naturopathic physicians to chiropractors to a whole host and sort of healthcare professionals who do that. And who is an expert? Well, for myself, I obtained a master's or earned a master's degree in nutrition in the early 90s in 1994. from there, I'm involved in Dr. Andy Weil's fellowship at the University of Arizona, one of the current fellows. I have three different boards in nutrition with the American College of Nutrition, the American Society of Parenteral Nutrition, and the American Board of Physician Nutrition Specialists, which is a mouthful. I'm only one of two physicians to have all three of those boards by those three societies, so I hope that somewhat validates me as a nutrition expert. And I've just become familiar with these supplements over years. I've done research in the lab on the antioxidant supplements and their use in inflammatory bowel disease. So I think over time I've developed pretty good expertise in this area.
And you're unique in that because it actually, most supplements are not regulated by the FDA and haven't undergone a lot of rigorous scientific evaluation.
It's interesting you mention it. We're finding more and more over time that some of these supplements appear to work for a variety of disease conditions. More so, we're finding that the functional foods and what they call phytonutrients appear to have very powerful actions. Even here at Hopkins, people have looked at broccoli in terms of how that may have anti-cancer properties. Every day, it seems like in the news, there is a new food or a new supplement that may have some actions. But on the flip side, the real question is, are these really should be used as therapeutic agents, as adjuncts to traditional medicinal Western-based therapies, or do they have even more powerful actions that are preventative that we just can't do the studies because there's either large numbers of patients that would need to be involved and or cost prohibitive? It's unclear the best role for these agents, but there seems to be a benefit that we're finding that can be ascribed scientifically.
For right now, of course, patients are out there struggling to find things that work for themselves. And as you've already identified, many, many of them are already taking supplements and nutraceuticals. Is this a good idea?
For them to take it without any guidance, supervision, advice, monitoring? Generally, no. Some of these herbals can be toxic. Medications are toxic, but they're supervised and monitored. Some of the herbs can actually cause some disastrous complications of the liver. So, you know, not such a good idea. And even sometimes they can have interactions with medications they're on that the doctors are unaware of because the patients don't tell the doctors. They're afraid to tell the doctors. It's been found that about 72% of the patients do not tell the doctors that they are taking these supplements. If you're on St. John's wort and you're taking coumadin and the doctor doesn't know, that's not such a good idea. So no, it's not good for the patient to do that without having a good dialogue and reporting that to their physician. And if the physician is unaware of it, they could certainly look that up or look for other experts who are more knowledgeable.
Are you in favor of regulation of nutraceuticals and supplements by the FDA?
Only to the extent that it forces better quality control by the manufacturers, and the GNPs that are out now will help take care of that to an extent. The good manufacturing practices that are being advocated and are now in place for manufacturers is a good thing. To limit their availability, I think, would be a mistake. People should have the freedom of choice to have these things, but they should have these things if they're good quality products that they can trust. And I think that would be a good role for the FDA to take as advocates for their consumers, but to regulate it and restrict it to the point where it becomes pharmaceutical would be counterproductive.
If you had to encapsulate your advice to someone who was considering using supplements, nutraceuticals, probiotics, things that are available to them over the counter, what would you say?
Well, I would say be educated. Do your own research first. Use the internet as your ally and consult with your physician.
And would you also say, and bring a complete list of the supplements when you talk with your physician?
Oh, absolutely. Honesty is the best policy. You don't want to experience a adverse effect and or an adverse interaction with the medicine your doctor prescribes without the doctor having the knowledge that you're taking these supplements.
So I would ask you then to prognosticate just a little bit on how you feel the use of these supplements is going to modify medical practice in the future.
Well, I think that doctors need to be more educated about these supplements. I think we all grew up in an era or a culture where we believe that this type of medicine is witchcraft. A lot of even doctors today that I deal with, even here on campus, feel it's bogus. And there's other doctors that believe that there is a scientific basis behind it. I think the doctors need to be a little more open, a little more educated about it, and that's where it should start.
Dr. Mullen, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, too, and have a very healthy and productive day in life.